No, don't ever hire an architect who is a genius. I don't like geniuses. They're dangerous.
How's that?
A man abler than his brothers insults them by implication. We must not aspire to any virtue which cannot be shared.
And that's from The Fountainhead. That is the villain in The Fountainhead exposing himself, saying that he doesn't want any geniuses to be hired because if somebody is better than anyone else, it makes everyone else feel inferior. Really? Think again. Think of your own heroes. Don't they inspire you? Isn't that another way to look at this? That you want great people in the world. You want the great minds in the world. You want people who are better than you at surgery. I'm not a surgeon. I want someone who excels in surgery so when they operate on me, I can get better health. And I want someone who's very good at designing cars, much better than I am, so I drive in a safe car. And then I can trade what I do with them. And that's wonderful. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. It's an opportunity for you to call in with any questions you would ask a counselor or a therapist. And even though I am a clinical psychologist, even though it's not therapy, it's an opportunity for you to maybe put your life in a little more order. Maybe think down a different thought path that will help you out. And you can give me a call. My number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. You can visit my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com, where I have a book that I've written with Dr. Ed Locke that's available on romance, articles I've written, and books that I recommend, and you can always listen to a podcast again. And right now, I want to welcome Lisa to the phone. Lisa, you have a narcissistic boyfriend?
I do believe so, yes.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
Well, the first year was great. He was really attentive and that sort of thing, and then I discovered he was texting another friend of his that he's known for about 20 years. He turned it around. it wasn't my fault he did it, but he was, it's nothing. And she said it was nothing. And then from that point on, I couldn't really trust him. But then after that, after we got back together, he sort of brought on another whole self. Like, he was more sexually explicit, and he was, using terms for sex that, you see in the, movies.
Okay, okay.
Kind of thing, anyway.
So has he been indulging in those movies?
I don't know.
Okay. But something has changed. You're observing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He'll make plans and he won't show up. And he has decided not to talk to a daughter of his. And he blames the mother for it. She wants to move far away, and in the spring, possibly.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes into these pity party modes, and he won't. He'll totally ignore me, or he won't. He just won't bother, And I got looking up narcissism, and I thought, it is all about him. He does turn it around. He doesn't consider my feelings at all. And when I mentioned something, he said, "You try and lose your children and see how you feel. You're not very understanding," and I've changed weekends. I've done everything I can for him.
Okay.
But he doesn't really consider my feelings at all. And, one time we were talking, and 2 months ago he was going to Ireland to move.
Yeah.
And then now he mentioned last week about moving in and having children. He wants 6 children. I'm 36 years old. The
okay.
guy is just—I don't know. He's
one with each woman, a woman.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you are no longer infatuated with him. You are no longer thinking of him as the love of your life. That you are in the driver's seat in your own life, sitting back, Lisa, evaluating him and saying, "Man, you know something? It started off nice. The first year he was attentive. He was nice. I felt that emotional connection with him."
Very respectful. Like, he would never say, "I want to you."
Yeah.
It was always, like, very romantic. And then all of a sudden this...
And so now you've got Mystery Man, and
yes.
he is not being open with you.
No.
And you know that. He broke the trust when he was texting a woman. And you can have, I'm assuming it was a woman, you
yeah.
can have female partner, you can have other friends conditionally, provided that it doesn't damage the relationship. How do you make that occur? Well, you invite your partner in. You say, would you like, I would love to go out with Betsy, and I think you'd enjoy her company too, assuming he's not forcing you, but you guys share an interest in XYZ, you know, you both love yeah. to, and you, he helps.
I'm pretty old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, monogamy for sure.
Oh, well, that I didn't mean sexually.
Yeah.
I meant
yeah.
That it you always run into. My husband and I have been married for how many years? I think it's 49. I lose track. And we have a wonderful, wonderful marriage, and we do not have outside best friends, like singular best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked magnificently for us. We have friends that we get together with, but we don't say, oh, I'm going to, you know, I don't say I'm getting together with my good friend Joe, whatnot, and spending the day with him and sharing my intimate life with him. I don't mean sexual, but just emotionally intimate. We don't bring it outside of our immediate bond. Now, many people do, but when you do, there are rules to do that. To go by, which is that you include your partner, you make sure it's okay with your partner, you deal with any partner's fears. So it isn't that he couldn't keep a friend from long ago, that he has to isolate himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you don't do it in a way that's damaging to your primary soulmate, to your
yeah.
primary bond. And
he has a huge fear of commitment, and I have to wonder if that's what the problem is. As soon as he gets close, he backs right off, and he goes on dating sites. And
well, know. Isn't it better that you find out now than after settling down and having six kids
oh, yes.
at the age of 36? So let me first just, I wrote a book with Dr. Ed Locke that I think is a must get in this situation. But let me just read you our part on narcissism. If you're with somebody who just feels like they're always superior to you, that they've got this sense of grandiosity, they need constant attention, it's all about them. They can, you know, they show off a bit. They've got fantasies of unlimited success, they envy other people, they
mm-hmm.
have, they exploit others, they don't have empathy where they should have empathy,
no.
and they have feelings of entitlement. This should come my
yeah.
way. And
yeah.
so it isn't a relationship of equals. It's not a there's not a mutual
no.
you rub my back, I rub yours. We both
yeah.
feel great in this marriage.
Yeah. No, this is definitely a and my friends will say, Lisa, you haven't been with him very long. Why
yeah.
are you
yeah. Why are you
so hung up on him? I guess because, you know, we did the family thing, and I don't know.
What do you mean you did the family thing?
Well, he visited me every weekend, and he brought his daughter, and we were like a family unit.
Oh, so you...
And I sold my house and actually moved closer to him because I live an hour and a half away.
This is so hard, Lisa, when you've invested a lot of time and energy and emotion
mm-hmm.
and really your whole future. You painted this picture of you being together as a family unit, you know, integrating his daughter into it. So it's really hard to let go of the good parts of the relationship and all your dreams and still keep your hope alive that you can have a good relationship in the future. So I know we're winding down on time, so let me just tell you, at the book that we wrote is going to sound narcissistic, but believe me, it's anything but. You don't want to be a doormat in a relationship, and you don't want to be a me-only person. You
yeah.
want to be self-valuing. You want to have self-esteem, self-nurturing. You
oh,
want to,
for sure.
So the title is The Selfish Path to Romance. That's why I'm smiling.
Okay.
How to Love with Passion and Reason. And we talk at the end of the book in our appendix, how to part ways if you cease being soulmates and start over again. again. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely short section that walks you through 9 steps. And I know we're down to the last couple of seconds here, but you identify the reasons you're considering a divorce. You identify barriers keeping you in an unhappy relationship. Mm-hmm. You make the final decision. You break the news to your partner. You set up an atmosphere of respect. You go public with family and friends. You make an action plan, and you learn how to live independently and seek romance again. So listen, I want to thank you so much for the call. It doesn't sound like you are a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And read our book, because you'll also discover how to find a partner and make it work.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Barry's wife, Kaylee, tells him that when his mother drops in unannounced, interferes with the way she does things, and even criticizes her, she feels uncomfortable. It's Barry's responsibility to talk to his mother and explain that he and Kaylee understand she's trying to be helpful, but that they do things differently and would like her to stop, as they often feel criticized by her actions. Barry can then ask his mother to agree to planning visits together in advance. If you allow constant parental abuse or intrusiveness, you are sanctioning it by your silence, which means you are choosing your parents as a higher value than your partner. For romance to thrive, you need to protect your privacy and establish proper boundaries with your parents.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.